Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, see, I knew that was going to go badly. Just forget it.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was just me. I mean, because I know I've already been dropped once today. So I was like, is that me? Is that you? What's going on?
I have no clue whatsoever. Yeah, good morning. Welcome to...
Good morning. It's us again.
Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And GLaDOS, apparently.
GLaDOS, we're so glad you came to have lunch with us. But yeah, get up off our connection.
I'm in trouble, apparently.
Uh-oh.
Well, anyway, I have news to do. Look, I'm hinting that I have news to do, but I'm in trouble. All right, so I have a... I'm being tickled. You know, this was a live show. Live show. Wow.
Do you need me to take over while you're tickled?
Could you imagine if this was on camera? You know, I'm trying to fix my hair and be all professional. It's like, it's like, what is wrong with that lady? Why is she laughing? I actually had something to share with y'all. I picked this up off of Wendy's show this morning, and I saw something similar yesterday, but I didn't mention it. You know, LulzSec has been causing all the issues with hacking.
Yes, all the time issues.
And look, see, we're jumping right into the news today. Y'all should be happy. well, as we know, the FBI is getting involved. Now, I didn't know how far this stretched, and this is just gossip, lies, and speculation on my part, allegedly, you know, however you want to put it. Yes, but you know, Scarlett Johansson's phone was hacked.
I saw those.
Well, apparently she's gorgeous, which we all know that. If you look at her with her clothes on, we know she's gorgeous. But apparently the FBI is involved because she's not the only person this is happening to. Somebody is like going through the celebrity phones when they take the nude pictures, and some of us who aren't celebrities and just snatching up pictures and posting them. LulzSec, if this is you, when they said those three magical letters, FBI, and those other ones, CIA, if I were you, I'd lay low.
Just lay low. Yeah.
Go into hiding, because as bad as you may think you are, I have already told you many times on the show, it took the FBI 30 seconds to find me leaving an anonymous tip. You're saying, I can hide myself. Mm-mm.
No.
Stuff they told me was not on the internet. They knew exactly who I was. Trust me, they knew who you are. As long as you got a social security number, they know who you are. And even if you don't. Anyway, be careful out there. And if you're going to hack, make it worth our while. I need some games. Do something worthy of pictures of Scarlett Johansson, really?
While she is hot, I'm sure at one time or another she will or has already probably posed
nude.
Yeah, somewhere. But, you know, on her own terms, you know, to make money. That you've done this is just kind of...
It's a guy thing. I remember I dated this guy. I was like, you don't find looking at other women hot? I was like, no, if I want to see naked women, I go stand in front of the mirror. That woman there is not angry that I'm looking at her. And I like the way she looks, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to look, I'll look at women, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, I look at myself. I'm the perfect woman. Thank you.
All right, speaking of... Craziness. All right, I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning, and this does not really surprise me, especially because I play Second Life.
Oh.
75% of MapleStory marriages end in divorce.
That's all online marriages. I think I'm a dinosaur. My Second Life marriage is, oh my God. 6 years, end of the month. Wow.
Oh, wow. I met somebody last night, 2 years, well, recently broken up, so no longer 2 years, but mm-hmm. I was like, wow. Like 1 month, and wow. Yeah. 5 years? No.
The secret, look, I'm going to write an article for that. The secret to having a long virtual marriage is that I don't ever see him. That's why. No, that's not why. No, the secret is we're just very good friends. People, when you get to be friends with anybody, it's going to last a long time. We email back and forth and stay in touch that way and share real life stuff. Not naked pictures, because I don't want you hacking my phone. No, there's none of that business. but we talk.
You'll
and...
have to find it. Ginger at GameMatrix.com.
Jay Dukes told us. He says the fade never fails moment I tune in about standing naked in the mirror, hands on the table. You know how we roll. We start hard every morning.
Well, let me actually read some of this.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Just interrupted you.
No, that's fine. Free-to-play MMO leader Exxon America passed along some interesting statistics of relationships in its game MapleStory and how they are just as awful in the virtual world as they are in the real as they are in life. No offense. It says no offense intended to my wife. way to look out. According to data released by Nexon America, virtual divorces are all too commonplace among online gamers, with 75% of MapleStory in-game marriages ending in heartbreak. Last year in North America, 26,982 game marriages were performed with a price tag of $25 per wedding. Of those marriages, 20,344, or 75%, have been annulled at the player's request.
Oh, annulled means it never happened. Oh, my God.
Ouch. And Nexon thought this was an interesting phenomenon and decided to ask MapleStory players what was going on. One player named Tyler from Vancouver, BC, shared an interesting story. Tyler says, I was young, naive, and thought I'd met one. She asked me what I wanted in MapleStory for my birthday, and I told her that the only thing I could ever want was for her to marry me.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, you got to run away from those right there.
Yeah.
They're that sappy, run away. After the ceremony, Tyler said that he saw his relationship heading in the wrong direction. She started saying that I wasn't the person she fell in love with, that I had changed, and that I didn't seem to care about her anymore.
You didn't want to quest with me like you used to.
Tyler, going to be virtual ex-wife, decided to teach a lesson. I called from my best friend saying that all my items were dropping. It was her. A week later, we decided that we needed to sever all ties between us, and we had our marriage annulled. I haven't talked to her since. Tyler apparently isn't alone in his virtual relationship troubles. Seth, a 19-year-old, see, there's your issue, too, from Colorado Springs, Colorado, has this to say, my former MapleStory spouse and I started off great, going on party quests together, boss runs, training, helping each other become better Maplers. Then I realized after a while that she was only out there to get free things off me, and we got in this conversation where she admitted to this accusation.
Accusation? I was like, what? I was hoping. Okay.
Accusation. I don't know. It's Thursday. I'm kind of eh. So I decided I have to annul our Maple marriage. On the plus side, there's no such thing as alimony or divorce settlement in MapleStory. Players are not required to divide their possessions up or anything crazy like that. Getting married to MapleStory can be quite a fun event for the happy couple and their friends, says MapleStory Kristen Cox. While it looks like our friends break up at a much higher rate than people do in real life, at least players are not on the hook for alimony. Couples who break up are not required to split up their virtual pets or any enchanted items. They do, however, have to pay for an annulment. See, I think they should do this. Well, actually, they do this in Second Life. They need to make it a bit more expensive.
I told you we need to go and start Second Life Court and just start hearing cases. Yes. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You got the legend. I'll pay for the building. You did what? I need you to present me with some screenshots, me logs.
You come to our court, you agree to our rules. Yeah.
Court ended. And we rule in favor of the plaintiff. $1,500 linens and court fees. $1,500. It says $800 on the sign. Do you see below where it says this subject to change without notice? $1,500. Yes. How many Second Life husbands? I've only had two, actually. You would think I had a lot. Now, you know, not to say I haven't had my fun, but but I always have an in-game husband in pretty much every game I play. Because it's fun sometimes to have somebody to roam around with. But I generally pick not those people that are going around going, oh, you're the one. No, it's not even a sappy factor. It's that if you start saying that you knew me 2 hours, you're most likely crazy in real life. And given what we do, Ginger and I talk about this all the time. Ginger learned her lesson the hard way. I told you, you got to be careful about who you tell who you really are. You cannot share your secret identity with everybody.
Mm-mm.
Because it gets crazy.
They do get crazy.
So if I feel like you can't handle when I say, hey, by the way, you know, I'm from GameMatrix.com and, you know, we do gaming. If you're not going to be sane, if you're not going to be sane, or I don't think you're going to be sane, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ran into somebody on an alt that doesn't know who I am that was talking about our website. And, oh, I like that website. And blah, blah, blah. Oh, really? That's nice. Aren't you a gamer? You should probably go there. Oh, I will. I'll drop by.
Nice. Very nice.
Thank you. I almost told them, like, yeah, my site.
No, a lot of people know that I work in some form of gaming journalism, but I don't tell them where anymore.
Yeah, I'm always very vague. If I haven't known them for about a year, real time, we're not talking about in-game Second Life, because some people do have, they, you know, some people are counting the day cycle, saying, this is, you know, it's a week, 2 hours is a week. No. If I haven't known you real time, we don't share any information, period. I don't tell you my name, nothing, because some of you are crazy. I learned my lesson the hard way 6 years ago.
Yeah, people are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, they did not live in the States, so they didn't get cut lived, and I didn't have to go to jail. So that's how that worked out. All right, Raptor. How many of you out there signed up for Raptor? Have you signed up with Raptor yet, Ginger?
I think I have an account. I'm just never over there.
I'm not either. They keep sending me a mail telling me they miss me, which I like. Okay. So according to VentureBeat this morning, Raptor, the social network for gamers, has reached more than 1 million daily active users and more than 10 million registered users to date. Awesome, Raptor. That shows the site is seeing continuous healthy growth as it tries to become the social network of choice for hardcore game fans. Raptor is a central hub for people to connect, share, and discover content about the games they play. With the user's permission, Raptor, the social network, links your online gaming accounts, PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, Steam, Nintendo, Apple accounts. Then it gathers data as you build a gamer profile that you can share with your friends and use to find people who like the same things that you do. Or you could just find people in the game that you play and know that they like the things that you do. But
yeah,
what do I know? They're saying it's like Facebook for gamers. It works across platforms. Raptor can, of course, share anonymized, you do know that's not a word over at VentureBeat, that is not a word, in aggregate form with game publishers and game websites so that they can get a much better feel for the demand of games in real time. Raptor recently added a social news feed for gamers so they can keep up with personalized game information and friend activity. In 3 months, users have followed more than 500,000 topics related to upcoming game launches. Overall, Raptor analyzes more than 23 million gaming sessions a month and a billion minutes of gameplay per month. The company was founded back in 2007 and raised $27 million in funding from investors, Astle Partners. Okay, I'm sorry. Founders Fund and DAG Ventures and Tenaya Capital. The large funding amount has enabled Raptor to explore how to get lots of users without worrying so much about monetization. Dennis Fong, who's the founder and chief executive of Raptor, said in past interviews that he wants to get service right and accumulate users before introducing monetization. Very smart. The tactic is very Zuckerberg-like, since Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg did the same thing in turn to his company before turning his company into the dominant social network. Also, our strategy here. It's no surprise that Facebook and Raptor share Excel as a common investor. Awesome.
Yes, very much so awesome.
I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Raptor. I don't... I sometimes like... I like the service when I go over and look. You know, sometimes I like to peek at what you guys are playing. What I don't like is, as soon as it posts up on Twitter or Facebook, then I start getting a rush of people asking questions. Because, you know, given what we do here, it's the same thing when I get on Xbox Live. If we happen to get a game ahead of time and I forget to turn myself offline, then I start to rush messages asking, how is it? How'd you get so fast? Yeah, you really? How did you get it so fast? Really?
None of your business. If you don't know, you don't need to know.
What's it like? I can't really talk to you. We're under embargo. Well, I just want to know so the ones that I can buy. Can you get me a copy? No, stop talking to me. I'm trying to finish this. But Raptor,
crazy people.
You.
Well, y'all gotta be all crazy.
Yeah, Raptor will tell on you. I turned that off about a year ago. I turned off my connection to any outside world while playing on Xbox. Maybe I need to buy a profile. That's what somebody said. Get a secondary profile so that I can hide properly.
You know, I heard that.
But that's a lot of money to pay just to hide. I just go off.
Mm-hmm. All right, what have I got?
Yes.
Ooh. I've got WorldStar Games. Okay, calling all gamers. UK's biggest gaming festival plays host to the national finals for the World Cyber Games, sponsored by Samsung. The World Cyber Games.
Samsung, yay!
The World Cyber Games sponsored Samsung is calling for the UK's ultimate gamers to compete at the open qualifier, Eurogamer, between the 22nd and 25th of September. Eurogamer Expo hosts the console leg of the worldwide tournament featuring beat 'em up favorite Con 6. Tekken 6.
It's all right.
And I'll talk today. And the PC final of FIFA 11. The Eurogamer Expo is being held at Earl's Court, London, and is the last chance for the best of the UK gamers to claim their place as one of the team representing the UK at the European finals in Warsaw, and the opportunity to travel to Korea at the final. Qualifiers are taking place throughout the duration of the expo, and gamers can visit the Samsung stand to get gameplay ready and to see the range of Samsung products, including Samsung 7 and 8 series televisions, which deliver outstanding 2D and 3D pictures and are optimized for gaming. 3D gaming notebooks. It's going to be one of those days. Series 9 and Series 7 HDTV LED monitors, which combine cutting-edge design, 3D gaming, and HDTV. Mobile devices such as the Galaxy Tab 10.1 and Galaxy S2, plus a vast number of games. Open to everyone, the FIFA 11 and Tekken 6 finals will take place at the close of the Eurogamer Expo on the 25th of September. The full tournament schedule, there's a whole schedule, and it's up on Game Matrix, so go check it out.
There's a whole schedule kind of business. Yeah, there.
Yeah, go check it out, Game Matrix.
Well, those of you who love Diablo will love this.
Well, what we have here was
a failure to communicate something. apparently, Blizzard is going to be using PayPal for Diablo 3. Ooh, nice. Gamers want to focus on gaming and prefer an in-game payment solution that's convenient, easy, and secure. I have to agree, said Carrie Kolodges, Senior Director of Emerging Opportunities at PayPal. Last month, we told you that our research has shown that over 70% of gamers are PayPal users, and we believe that's because we understand the central principle. PayPal will also become a payment option on Battle.net accounts. Thank you. It was last month that Blizzard announced it would allow players to use real currency in the online RPG so that the real currency can be used to buy and sell weapons, armor, and other in-game items at virtual auction houses. PayPal's solution for digital goods will help enrich this experience by providing Blizzard's audience in several regions of the world with another easy, convenient, and safe way for making these purchases. Gold-based auction houses will still be available for those who do not want to spend real money. I like it. Although we do have one of the developers here complaining, says that PayPal is the most god-awful service he's ever used. That's Tom Pickard, who's the art lead over at the Creative Assembly. Yes, I'm calling you out, Tom. He says, on the plus side, it's like Activision Blizzard are doing everything they can possibly do to make sure that I don't get addicted to Diablo 3, which might actually not be such a bad thing. How mean.
That is mean.
Especially when it's not us. We like to say stuff like that. You don't get to say it. Now, there's some other concerns here that are interesting, but we may save that to talk about for later.
All right.
What?
GamePolitics.com this morning, they pulled this from IndieGames.com. Phone Story pulled from Apple's App Store.
Why?
Apple has taken down a game that is overly critical of the process by which most smartphones are made because it highlights the exploitation of workers and the environment. Oh, yeah. All right, the game is called Phone Story, and using a simple gameplay mechanic shows how workers in third world countries are treated. Perhaps the game was a little too controversial or hit too close to home for Apple, who pulled the game from its App Store without public comment. The game was developed by Mole Industria, who are better known for their game, Every Day the Same Dream. Phone Story tells its tale via four mini-games that show what it takes to make a phone, including extracting minerals for components in Congo, using outsourced labor in China, dealing with e-waste in Pakistan, and consumers buying the product in Western companies. Early this morning, a member of Mole Industria tweeted that Phone Story had been removed from the App Store for violating four App Store review guidelines. Those guidelines included depicting against children or child abuse, presenting objectionable or crude content, containing fraudulent or misleading representations, and failing to comply with all legal requirements. The bad news is that Mole Industria was planning on its 70% share. Apple takes 30% of the app's profits, including students and scholars, against corporate misbehavior. Of course, because Apple controls the gateway for all iOS software developers, they can do whatever they want. The writer says, all we can do is tell you about it.
Or you can go over to Android. That's what mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate to admit it, but they've got a point. And a lot of these people that I meet that are, you know, I'm going green, I bought this car, and I'm recycling, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, but they've got all the latest gadgets, and don't stop thinking about
what it took to get it.
Yes. Yes, everybody's like, oh, blood diamonds, it's evil, and these sweatshops to make our clothes are evil, but they're not stopping to think about what it's taken to make these computers and all the wonderful little gadgets and toys.
Well, apparently I did some other news this morning. Somebody else that got hacked. This is a short one, so I'll do two. This week also, hackers took over the Twitter account of NBC News and posted tweets about an attack on Ground Zero. NBC did manage NBC got the account back fairly quickly. It also gained 5,000 new followers in only 2 days because of the media attention. Just make sure you protect your Twitter account.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. I had to change my password on again.
We've said this before. There's password generator sites. Just grab you a couple and change it up every once in a while. Or if you do like me, set an alarm at random. I just pick a date. Today you need to change all your ports.
So I need to start doing that, apparently. Yeah. I don't have a mouthful of words. Nope.
Tinder May.
What?
See, we have to eat lunch because y'all don't love us, especially Jay.
He's rumbling.
Jay didn't want to give us anything.
Jay, big...
All right. Although a lot of these companies out here are bragging how microtransactions are wonderful and we're earning all this money, we're going to be rich. Well, not necessarily so. Well, I guess this kind of doesn't really fall into that, but kind of does at the same time. Here's reported by Screen Digest that subscriber revenue from online games fell in 2010 at first for the industry. A 2010 decline in subscription revenue, the first annual contraction experienced by the market since our coverage of this segment started in 2002. It represents an inflection point for the industry, said Piers Harding, Roll's senior analyst. In 2010, online multiplayer games generated about $1.53 billion in North America and Europe, a fall of 5% from $1.66 billion in 2009. I'm really not that concerned when it's still in the billions, people. Screen Digest predicts a long-term drop in subscriptions falling to $1.33 billion by 2011.
Wow.
Those poor people. Only $1.33 billion? How will they ever eat? The focus of many PC operators has clearly shifted to microtransaction-based models, in part due to competition in the subscription market, especially in the high MMO, but also because of the flexibility microtransactions offer operators in monetizing games. Microtransactions in the same global regions rose by 24.2% from $909 million to $1.13 billion in 2010. I'm going to call both Ginger and Dukes on Twitter. the total revenue. Yes, both of you are going down. Total revenue among Western online multiplayer games, including subscriptions and microtransactions, rose by 5.3% from $2.57 billion to $2.7 billion in the same period. Screen Digest forecasts microtransactions revenue to continue upwards, reaching $1.8 billion by 2015. Study also distinguishes between MMOGs, massively multiplayer online games like the World of Warcraft, and MOGs, non-massive multiplayer online games like Moshi Monsters. MOGs continue to rise in popularity with operators because they can cover a wide range of game genres, are generally less expensive to produce than full-blown MMOGs. Oh, that reminds me. You can go over to Screen Digest and check out their studies. I am currently, and this is pretty much, let me see what I can start getting in trouble. Closed beta of the Godfather game. That's nice.
You're in on her.
I like that some of the people are actually replaying. There's some backup going on already. And if you met me in the game, which I'm Game Matrix, of course, there's backstabbing going on already. Watch what you say to me.
life. I want to play. You let me in. I want to play.
You did not use your super meteor powers. I told you.
That is awesome. I want to play.
But you know, and this is going to cause an uproar. I have never seen any of the Godfather movies. I love mobsters, but I've never seen them. Tell you now.
I have either.
So I was asking questions. I was like, okay, what's a cajon? Do I want to be a cajon? Do I want to be a foot soldier? Wait a minute, foot soldier? Do I want to be? What do I want to be? Do I want to be the underboss? People are like, yeah, underboss, good. Okay, I'll be the underboss. But I'm not an underboss yet. I'm an associate now, and I'm a member of the Outfit, which I do know my history. The Outfit is the gang that Al Capone was in, and my boss is Al Capone. That's all I can tell you, and I've got to shut up before I get in trouble. Okay. Nice.
That is awesome.
Cutting going on. I'm kidding. All right. Ginger, it'd be your turn.
It'd be my turn. All right. The music works releases Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine, the soundtrack.
Oh, really? Can we get a copy of that?
I know, right? Something else Music Works Incorporated proudly presents Warhammer 40,000 Space Marines, the soundtrack, featuring original music score from Relic Entertainment's critically acclaimed third-person action shooter published by THQ. Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine, the soundtrack, is scheduled for release on September 20th, 2011, to retail outlets through Something Else Music Works, and for digital download at somethingdigital.com. Oh, also Amazon, iTunes, and other digital music sites. In Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine, you are Captain Titus of the Ultramarines, humanity's last hope for survival in a war-ridden future. Step into the armor of the superhuman warrior and use a lethal combination of deadly weapons to crush overwhelming alien forces. Fight against the savage orcs and the unholy forces of chaos in a brutally violent world-based on one of the most popular science fiction fantasies. Inspired by these stunning cinematic visuals and visceral gameplay of Space Marine, the renowned duo of composers Dekisian, from Tron Evolution, and Chris Velasco, God of War series, crafted an expansive emotional score featuring anthemic orchestral compositions and contemporary Hollywood music production, reflecting the epic scale of this rich sci-fi fantasy. Set in the Warhammer 40,000 universe, Creative Games Workshop, Space Marines is now available for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows PC. For more information, you can visit spacemarine.com. Yay!
Yay! All right, so our lovely peoples over at Icarus sent us some news. So I got to share with you because I love them. Well, HeroClix Online developers are announcing Rolling Thunder. Rawr.
Thunder!
Yes, HeroClix is the digital transliteration of, I love that word, of popular combat or tabletop games. They alerted players today of a downpour. That's right, this is old school, old school.
People still play tabletop?
Yes, they do. I would too if I could, people that weren't crazy. Man, I met some chick in the store that was playing Vampire the Masquerade. He thought she was a vampire. And she was...
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. See, you could do the vampire thing when you're young, when you're like, I think maybe 18 to 25, you can get away with the whole, you know, I want to be a vampire look, and it works for you because you're young. But when you are 50, you have no business with your hair dyed red.
No!
You look 50, okay? You look 50. Not 50, because some people look 50. You look 50 and older. You have no business. Hair thinning. No. Anyway, so yeah. But anyway, today they alerted players of a downpour headed to the online game called Rolling Thunder. This is a 5-week-long event which will test player skill as they battle it out on the Rolling Tournament for one of the 5 limited edition Marvel figures. Rolling Thunder will run September 16th through October the 20th. Following the recent integration of sealed Rolling Thunder Tournament, HeroClix Online, the Rolling Thunder event will offer players a chance to score a virtual limited edition figure for their feats. Every week between Saturday the 16th and October 20th, a new limited edition Marvel figure will be awarded to the first place winners of the ongoing sealed rolling tournament. Limited edition figures from the Marvel collection include Samantha Parrington, Skull Brother, Garskit, I may be saying that wrong, Son of Sortor, and Thor the Reigning. I want that one. For more information on HeroClix Online or to create an account, you can go over to HeroClix.com and sign up. And that'll be posted on our site in just a moment. Icarus just emailed me back. We are way too interactive for our own good, Ginger. I'm telling you, we are way too interactive.
I know. No, no, that's awesome. That's awesome.
All right, but you guys, I'm so out of the old school. Though. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can play. I don't know if I can actually play and get it right. You know, I may like play the wrong card or something. Wrong stats. Be like, it's hard.
Hot slice days.
Jay. Well, he said, why don't we throw him under the bus? How does a hot seat taste? All right. And if you don't know what's going on, then you need to follow us on Twitter. We are very, very interactive newscast. Even real-life newscasts don't rival us, so we will respond to you most times on air. If you say something to us, we like hearing your name. Then
we will say it all day long. Well, actually, we'll only say it for an hour, but hey.
Yeah, but we'll say it slow, and you'll like it.
Very nice. Very nice.
Go, Ginger, go. Go, Ginger, go.
GamePolitics.com this morning. White House hosts a Digital Promise initiative this week. And you know what? No, that's the 19th, isn't it? I got to look at it.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
This week, the White House will launch what it calls the Digital Promise Initiative, a gathering to promote breakthroughs in education and learning technologies. The event revolves around the National Center created by Congress to advance breakthrough technologies that will improve America's education system. Will be launched on Friday, September 16th, at the Eisenhower Executive Office Building at 10 a.m. The U.S. Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, will deliver a keynote address. During the launch, the White House will also announce new initiatives that the administration hopes will spur research and development and private sector investment in learning technologies. Digital Promise, also known as the National Center for Research in Advanced Information and Digital Technologies, is a nonprofit organization created by the U.S. Congress as part of the 2008 reauthorization of the Higher Education Act. Its mission is to explore the use of technologies and to enhance, the use of technologies to enhance and improve education. Edutopia has some interesting background information on this, as well as the Education Trust Fund. If you want to check that out, that is edutopia.org.
Yay, and it's time for a break. No, I'm kidding.
No, not quite. Not quite. We're almost there. We got, 10 minutes? Yeah, 10 minutes.
But what if we want to take a break now? We have to wait 10 minutes? Who's your boss? I want to speak to your manager.
You don't want to talk to my boss. She'll get you. She'll cut you.
She might. But, yeah, I have nothing. All right, so. There's a particular radio station new out on the market that's going to launch free on-demand music streaming, but they won't tell you how long you'll be able to have it. Yeah, I know it makes no sense. Following MOG's lead by just a few hours, music subscription service RDIO, or pronounced radio, on Wednesday announced it will soon launch a free version that lets users listen to unlimited on-demand music. Free on-demand music services in the U.S. all but disappeared from before Spotify launched in July, offering a free ad-supported version along with a $5 a month and a $10 a month premium premium offerings. Users can currently listen to as much music as they want on Spotify with ads, but in a few months they'll only be able to listen to 20 hours a month with ads, a detail that opens a gate for other services. So specific details on radio's free service are scant as of now.
That's a new service, right?
Bringing in new. But they'll most likely reveal all at 20 hours. No, Spotify is only going to let you do 20 hours. Spotify's new, too.
Spotify was new, too. Pandora's still doing this recently, but I think it's 40 hours a month.
I just go to YouTube, people.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing recently. YouTube got my playlist.
Yeah, I don't really need to see the video. I can load up some music and you know, let it do its thing. They put YouTube on Xbox, I'm going to be in business. Even on PlayStation, same deal. Just roll it, turn it on, go about my business. But they're saying,
just get it to work on my Android that way.
I need to get me a new phone. So they're saying most likely they'll reveal all the details about radio's free service at Facebook's F8 conference next week, which we were not invited to. Mark Zuckerberg, we're not happy. Where Facebook is expected to launch a music service in partnership with radio, MOG, and Spotify. Here's what is known so far. Radio said it will let people use its free service longer than the standard 7-day free trial. There will be no advertising. Unfortunately, it said it also said that the free version will last an undetermined amount of time before it forces you to upgrade to premium. Apparently, the free version will also last longer the more you use it, but we don't know more than that. That makes no sense. So the longer I use it, the more it lasts. But we may shut you off at any time. In comparison, though, MOG does have a free version of its service starting today. The free play service has a unique way of operating. Of course, it gives you a virtual gas tank that tells you how much free music you have left to listen to before you're out. To get more in the tank, users can perform actions like sharing playlists with friends on Facebook, referring friends to the service, or listening to promoted artists in MOG's library. Interesting. MOG's free service will be ad-free for 60 days while users get acclimated. There's other subscription music services, RDO, MOG, Radio, or that's really messing with my head. MOG, Spotify, and Napster charge $5 a month to access unlimited music through the web and a $10 a month to access unlimited music through the web and mobile apps. San Francisco-based Radio launched August of last year and raised about $17.5 million in February, with that round led by Mangrove Capital Partners. I don't know. I just go to YouTube. YouTube doesn't charge me, and they don't care how much music I listen to.
And this is you. I don't know if you're like me, but that's a good thing that they don't care, because.
Yeah, I'm all up over. Ooh, cute guy. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
All right. I've got.
I know. I'm out of order. Oh, he's Australian.
Ooh. That's hot. All right, so Stamp Art Fever updated to include more exclusive stamps to collect, because apparently stamp collecting makes a good game.
Oh, yeah.
Indie developers Francesco Cesari and Nicola Cini announced today the release and worldwide availability of updated version of Stamp Art Fever, the first title intriguing combination of social gaming and stamp collecting. Oh, my. All right, so. With the update, Stamp Art Fever makes a big step forward. Every month, starting from the current update, developers plan to release new themed sets of stamps. Every stamp featured in the title is a little piece of art created by a professional illustrator and artist exclusively for the game. 95 new and unique and beautiful stamps to collect are already available with this version. In the game, users are art stamp collectors who build their virtual stamp collection by continuously searching, buying, trading, and bidding on any of over 400 exclusive stamps with realistic art design in 20 levels. Players connect with other players all around the world to swap stamps, compete in collector challenges, and accomplish the ultimate goal of acquiring a complete collection. Francesco Cesari says, it is not a game just for stamp lovers. With Stamp Art Fever, we wanted to create a game that gives everyone the opportunity to collect original stamps in a fun way. It was born as a collecting game, but thanks to continuous upgrades, Fever is growing and everyone searches for the missing piece of art. Try to see if you are immune to the collector's fever. All right, so apparently it is downloadable right now on the Apple iTunes Store. They did not give me a price, though. I don't know if it's free. But you can go check it out.
Why?
I don't understand. Me either.
Okay, well, I'm going to move along because I don't understand that story at all, or that game, period. I mean, really, I don't understand. But there's a lot of games I'm forgiving of. Maybe somebody likes this. I can't see why part of the whole stamp collecting is them being able to touch and do stuff with it. I don't want to talk about what they do with it, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those stamps are going to get it. Anyway, gamification expert apparently announced their intent to form gamification. My new favorite word I heard on Wendy this morning. She calls it hackalation. People that you're getting hacked, all this hackalation going on, I like that. Gamification experts announced their intent to form First Industry Association. And I love that my email closed before I could finish reading that for you.
That's
lovely
so
people.
Nice. Don't you love it when that happens?
Yeah, so they just sent it. So here we go. We're back. In it. Gamification luminaries have today announced that their intent to form the Engaged Alliance, a not-for-profit organization to advance the art and science of engagement and gamification through education. Did you already do this? Awareness and research? Yeah, sounds like you did.
Mm,
no, it's a gamification summit. Okay. Yeah, well, the goal of the alliance is to further the understanding of the power and science of game mechanics to create behavior change. Within 120 days, the Engagement Alliance will announce its directorship and first initiatives. Speaking from the event hall of the Gamification Summit going on in New York City, Summit Chair and CEO of Gamification Company, Gabe Zicherman, and just that's how I say your name, said, given the immense growth of the gamification market from numerous exciting startups to major brands, agencies, nonprofits, and government, and the success of educational initiatives like the gamification design certification offered at G Summit NYC, the need to consolidate around a nonprofit has become clear. I look forward to collaborating with experts from a range of industries to further the ways in which the gamification industry can continue to positively change the world. How is it that you just made gaming sound extremely boring?
I don't know. They did. They just killed it for me. They killed it. How rude.
Fantastic idea. Hope you do well with it. I am not going to finish reading this because it is boring me to sleep as I'm reading it. But if you like it, you can go and check out a full agenda of their topics at gamificationsummit.com/agenda/. And they also have a live stream going on if you'd like to watch it, which we will post up here in just a short moment. Is it Talk Like a Pirate Day yet?
No, I think that's the 19th. That's what I meant to go look a minute ago.
Arr.
Talk like a pirate.
every day. I'm practicing. Arr.
Arr. September 19th.
Yay.
We got 4 days.
Monday.
I got to find like an eye patch or something so that like I remember to talk like a pirate.
I'm going
to
put a patch on link. I may post it up on Facebook in 1 second.
That would be awesome.
Talk like a elf ninja pirate. Also, those of you who are Second Life peoples that are starting to trickle over to listen to us, this is your last day to go check out the Fashion Week at Moldavia, not the real life Fashion Week, which is also ending today, over at Moldavia. Am I in there? I think I am. Anyway, they've been having fashion stuff going on all at Moldavia. You can check them out if you are in Second Life. If you're curious, you like fashion, which I'm across to. They're gamers, you can pop by our page. Look under virtual fashion and just click that lovely link that says visit Moldavia and Second Life. It is free. Don't panic. It's free. But again, as we also warn you, as soon as you pop on, make sure you move and find somewhere to sit immediately.
Yes.
People
sit immediately.
They do not play. Now it's time
to get together a list of places to go for people to gather stuff.
Yes. You sound so excited. Okay, so
I am. I should be.
Now, this is the part that's not fun, gathering the people. It's once you get there, it's like, oh, yes, close. Yes. All right. If Jay Dukes has no further comments, we're going to take a break.
Jay, do you have any further comments, Jay?
Yeah, by the time he gets this, we'll already be in a break. 30 seconds.
Bye, Jay.
Did you know what you're talking about, Zaxby's? There's no such thing as Zaxby's in this town. So we don't eat that dribble. Anyway, people from Zaxby's, no offense, but Jay brought it upon you. Don't give him any more sandwiches. All right, we will see you guys in about 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Well, no, we'll be back before then. That is...
Here we go.
The reason I play this also is I've got some amazing news about GTA when we come back. We may leave just enough streaming time for you to hear before we go off, not streaming. Woo! It makes me want to commit heinous crimes. Rockstar, I'm still waiting on my GTA.
Just gonna get y'all if y'all don't hurry up with that.
And I've been waiting patiently. I am a fangirl. Oof, love it. I'm having to play knockoffs on Facebook because you won't give me the real thing. And I've had, remember that one we said yesterday? There's Jay. He says I have nothing further.
Oh.
Poor Jay.
He's so cute. He likes it.
Indeed, he does. Right. Is it my turn?
I'll take it. I don't know.
I'm
I
already.
Think maybe it's your turn. Is it your turn? Okay, go ahead.
It probably isn't, but I'm going to take it. Okay, so you heard my little GTA music. That's from GTA 4. That's the opening credits. Lovely. But
yay!
Congratulations to our peoples over at Rockstar and Take-Two Interactive. GTA 4 has shipped more than 22 million units since its release in 2008.
Wow.
According to the company's chairman, that's from Strauss Zelnick, he was speaking at the Think Equity annual conference today, reported by Anyway, he noted that the Grand Theft Auto franchise in total now shipped more than 140 million units. Shenmue 2's series 8.5 million, NBA 2K 17 million, and Red Dead Redemption 12.5 million units. Strategy series Civilization has shipped 11 million. Relatively new franchise BioShock reached 9 million. And the Wii hit Carnival Games. Yes, we said Wii hit. Sold 8 million units. The Max Payne series, we'll see a third title released early next year, has shipped about 7.5 million units. The Mafia franchise, 5 million. Borderlands, 4.5 million. And The Darkness, only 1 million units. Sad. But still great games. This company is like, they cannot lose. Who sold their soul to the devil over there is what I want to know.
Somebody did. Or they traded the firstborn. One of the two.
Did you say fresh or firstborn?
Firstborn. Firstborn.
I like
firstborn.
Fresh. I like freshborn.
Freshborn.
I have a freshborn baby.
Freshborn baby. I'm nom nom.
I like that. I'm borrowing that from here on out. I'm saying. Everybody asked me, that is a freshborn baby. Is that a freshborn? Yeah. They are fresh. They smell all clean and untainted.
Oh, God, they do. They smell so good.
I just want to hug them, kiss them, and put a controller in their hand and say, welcome, little person, welcome.
Somebody should find a way to bottle that smell.
Oh, man. See, that's why. See, now y'all know why some women try to steal babies. Not that I'm condoning such activity, because if you were trying to steal one of mine, that's death. It's the biggest. But, yeah. That's why they do it. It's the smell. They smell so good. Yum, yum. Put some hot sauce on it. Wait a minute. I went the wrong way with this. I went the whole wrong way. Okay, Ginger, take over before I get in trouble.
All right. Mortal Kombat sells over 3 million units worldwide.
Wow.
Yay. Latest release from Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment is the most successful console game for the iconic franchise. Yay! All right, so Warner Brothers Interactive today announces Mortal Kombat, the latest iteration of the legendary fighting franchise, has sold over 3 million units worldwide, making it the highest-selling fighting game this year. Mortal Kombat, developed by NetherRealm Studios, led by Mortal Kombat creator and creative director Ed Boon, launched on PlayStation 3 and Xbox in April 2011. I see people, look, I understand y'all want to talk about the whole name of the system. Can you just say PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 so I'm not tripping over, like, the 15-word long description?
Yes.
In addition to the full game available at retail, downloadable content has been released for the game, offering four warriors, including the return of fan favorites Scarlet, Kenshi, and Rain, and an all-new competitor in the Colosseum, legendary Dreamstalker Freddy Krueger. Really? Who's now features two vicious bladed gloves. Each DLC character comes with his or her own.
How dare they bastardize.
Yeah, I know, right? And two deadly fatalities. What, no babalities? Come on. All right, so who is this? Martin Trippin at Warner Bros. Interactive. We are very pleased with the success of Mortal Kombat as it surpassed our expectations in becoming the number one fighting game in North America. Released this year. The Realm Studio delivered a high-quality game with our sales goals. I'd like to thank our entire team and all our partners for their innovative campaigns and support of Mortal Kombat as the game sales continue to grow. Ed Boon, creative director of NetherRealm Studios, says, all of us at NetherRealm Studios are very excited that players have embraced Mortal Kombat. The game was a labor of love for us, and we could not be more pleased with its performance. Fan reaction to this latest installment has made all of our hard work worth it. All right, so Mortal Kombat is a triumphant return to the game's original Hello Freddy Krueger, mature presentation offering over-the-top fatalities and cringeworthy X-ray moves. Going back to a 2D fighting plane, this latest iteration in the franchise introduces a number of new gameplay features, including Tag Team, Challenge Tower, and a Deep Story Mode. players can choose from an extensive lineup of the game's iconic warriors and challenge their friends in a traditional one-versus-one match, or take on several players in new online King of the Hill modes. The Legendary Fighting Game is now available in the UK on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. All right, so you want more information about the Mortal Kombat? You can go over to themortalkombat.com.
I am disgusted that you would bastardize my Freddy Krueger. I saw the remake of the movie the other day. I am not pleased with the remake, and now you're going to stick him in the game, and then you're going to make it worse. Make it really, really bad. He's two gloves? No.
Mm-mm.
I want these, you know, I'm moving along. Anyway. Deep Silver is very proud to announce that Dead Island has shipped more than 2 million units worldwide. Deep Silver's new zombie IP tops the charts in North America, UK, and other European territories, which we already told you before they decided to send this over to us. Dead Island, the award-winning zombie action game, published by Deep Silver on the 6th of this month, and in North America, we got it on the 9th, and in the rest of the world, except Japan, has secured number one chart position in several important territories across the world. By the end of the week, Deep Silver will have shipped around 2 million units of Dead Island globally in its first week of availability. Wow, awesome, Deep Silver. Dead Island was an instant success with the game topping the North American retail charts, reaching the coveted number one position with reorders from retail already in the process. In the UK, Dead Island ranked number one in the all formats. This week, it's also leading the chart. Yeah, don't scroll while you're reading.
I know you're
just boom, 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 back. Okay, so in the UK, Dead Island ranked number one in all the formats charts last week and is also leading all format charts in France, Spain, and elsewhere. I can't talk today. Console and Switzerland. Yes. Switzerland and Australia and Xbox 360 charts in Italy. The game has enjoyed similar successes on high chart positions in other territories worldwide. In addition, the PC versions of Dead Island has topped the chart for the 10 globally best-selling games last week on Steam. Dead Island has constantly gathered a considerable following across all media all over the world since its announcement with a spectacular video in 2011, which we had on our channel, if you remember. Made a lot of people cry because it was... of course, trailer drives masses everywhere and became internet phenomenon. That's good marketing, people. Our new IP, Dead Island, has already proven to be a huge success on a global scale for Deep Silver. On 1 week after its release in North America, this is from Clement Kondratis, CEO of Coach Media. With Dead Island number one in several important retail territories, the success has also confirmed our standing as a global publisher and has once again proven our position as Europe's number one retail distributor. And they included some lovely chart positions, but we already have those up. Feel free to drop by our site, front page, right, chart toppers. Lovely, Dead Island. If you'd like to know more, for some reason you have not played this and you're kind of interested, today my little comparison will go up. Stay so busy during the day, as you know, comparing it to our past favorite zombie games, or you can pop over to their website, deadisland.com, if you want to just know about the game itself. If you think I'll play it, I just need to know what's going on in it. But excellent game, Deep Silver, excellent marketing. You have sucky media people dealing with public, so I'm not happy with them, not happy with them on that point, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, what have I got? I've got GamePolitics.com this morning. They pulled this from Industry Gamer. Call of Duty XP, third most popular televised event in history.
Wow.
Yeah. According to Activision, its Call of Duty fan event, Call of Duty XP was a smashing success and the second most viewed televised event in history. Speaking to Industry Gamers, Activision Publishing's top executive Eric Hirschberg said that they were delighted with how the event turned out and proud of the milestones it earned. All right, so Hirschberg says, the response has been pretty overwhelming. It was a terrific success from both the standpoint of the people who attend in person and also our strategy to make it a connected digital event for our fans worldwide. We had some pretty amazing metrics. Livestream, the company that broadcast the event for us, indicated that it's the second most viewed event in history, the first being the royal wedding. I think the third was the President Obama speech. So that's pretty remarkable. Wow, so they actually do mean in history. I thought maybe just like in their history.
Mm-hmm.
Hirschberg also pointed out that when the event took place, it trended globally on Twitter during its first 24 hours. Ultimately, they feel that they have met their goal by getting fans to really engage the game. While Hirschberg did not have an exact headcount of how many fans attended XP, he put it at somewhere around 8,500 people. While Hirschberg wouldn't commit to an event next year, it is likely to happen given the positive attention it received from fans. Wow. Third most popular televised event in history. Third. Wait a minute. Hold on. Are they saying this backwards? Because they said the first was the royal wedding, and the third was President Obama's speech. So are they saying they're second? And then, all right, anyway.
I need clarification. I'd like to see the numbers on that. I can't believe you outdid Royal Wedding because everybody in the world was watching the Royal Wedding.
Yeah, the Royal Wedding was number one. They're saying in the art fan, they were number two. In the speech, by number three. But in the title, they're saying that they were third most popular. Which makes me wonder, is the title correct or is the...
Or is somebody lying?
Somebody lying to me. Liar. I smell pants on fire.
Adorable. That was absolutely adorable. I like it. I like it. All right. Well, remember I was telling you about that company for Apple called OpenFaint?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jason Citron, who was the CEO and co-founder, has left.
Why did he leave?
Well, according to the official statement that he sent out, he said he's leaving the company to pursue new opportunities. Nico Agoy, I can't say your name. I'm sorry, Nico. Naoki. Oyagi, I'm sorry, who was previously of OpenFaint parent company Gree, has been appointed as Citron's replacement. In just over 24 months, OpenFaint has grown to over 120 million users across 7,000 games, said Oyagi. He says, as they thank Jason for his company and wish him well in his new ventures, he's excited to lead OpenFaint through its next phase of growth. OpenFaint also announced that it will be revealing its plans to integrate its U.S. operation with Gree's over the next few weeks. I think there's something else going on here. It is way too soon. OpenFaint is just beginning to expand. It sounds to me like somebody got fired, and they gave him the option of walking and making it look good. Y'all know how it goes. It works in offices. They say, you can quit, or we can fire you, but either way, as the saying, either way, you got to get the hell out of here so we can make it look good for you so you can get a new job, or we can make it ugly and messy. So which one do you choose? And he says, I'll go quietly.
Yes, something. Oh, wow.
All right. Also, and it's almost time for us to go. I'm going to close the show with an announcement.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay, so Game Connection Europe is coming to you European peepers. Over, yes.
I want to go.
It's going to be December 6th through the 8th in Paris. I don't think that's a good idea, Ginger. Shoes and games live in Paris. It's not a good combo, for me at least. I will come home broke.
For you, exactly.
Who is going to keep me away? Who is going to keep me away from the shoes is the question if I go.
I'll tie rope to my belt loop and then around your wrist and it'll be okay.
You say this to the woman who likes to cut things. Okay. All right, so if you live over that way, you can start getting your passes as early as October the 15th. They have a standard pass. They have a business pass, an exhibitor table, and a premium exhibitor booth, so they've pretty much covered all their bases. The standard pass is supposed to be very simple. You can sit in on their, what you call it, panels. Why can't I talk? You can attend the sessions. You can have a few meetings, blah, blah, blah. And it's about 550 euros. Yeah, if you pay for it early. You know, that's not nice. How come we don't get a – yeah. Anyway, so you get limited access. You get one pass. You can pick your seat online because they're apparently doing seats. There's a meeting application account. I don't know what that is, but it sounds important. Let me see if I can get some pricing for you guys because they didn't really give me anything.
How dare they?
All I saw was Paris, and I got all kinds of excited. I just pictured myself with bags full of games and shoes just laying in the middle of the cobblestone streets, just swimming in them. Shoes just all around me, just games everywhere. Whew, it's a beautiful thing. Okay, well, we'll have to over to their page is game-connection.com, and you can check out the pricing if you live over that way. Some shoes, I wear a size 7.5-8. If it's Manolo Blahniks, get the 8, please. They're the ones to the expensive shoe. It's time to go because I'm bothering our ginger.
Better grab everything I can. You're going to want to see this. Better grab everything I can.
You know, I hate GLaDOS to the board just in. GLaDOS, can you stop that? You know what? We'll just play this other song, GLaDOS. Thanks a lot. Make sure you listen to us tonight, live at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for a whole hour.
No time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, 'cause they'll find you, burn you. Then he said, if you wanna get out alive, hold on for your life. If you wanna get out.
Boys and girls. Mwah.